For those of you that are new with us, we are in the process of studying through the book of Luke, and we'll pick that up next week. But today is kind of a special day here. A year and a half, 2 years ago, I was standing outside visiting with someone, and they were sharing with me this incredible testimony of how God had worked in their life. And they're telling me this story, and I am just enthralled in this story. And I said, dude, you have got to tell this story. Now, back in old church days, we used to do testimony. And people used to get up and tell testimony, share testimony. Now, I just want you to know, if there's anyone here, I'll vacate the platform, and you can come on up. Now, you know what the number one fear is considered on the stressor? Is public speaking. And I know my first swim at public speaking didn't go so good back in college. But what we did was we created an opportunity to come together and to share that story. It gives us an opportunity to talk about the grace of God, the sovereignty of God, the provision of God, the blessings of God. And it's an encouragement. And we've gotten to hear the testimony of many of the folks here in our fellowship over these times. And I'm really excited. This date has been on the calendar for quite a while. And I'm very excited about this as our story today. This is the first time we've ever had two people. It's always been one, so we'll see how they share the airtime here a little bit. But it's very exciting. I'm very excited about that. Today, our focus passage is found in Isaiah chapter 61. And this is the verse by which what brings us together today. This is the verse by which the vision was birthed. This is the verse by which this ministry lives, breathes, and measures its success. Let's read that together, shall we? The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. Because the Lord has anointed me. Excuse me. I just cracked myself up. I'm sorry. The wheels start wobbling. I just need... Okay. When you say... Anyway. Okay. Don't help me. It's okay. All right. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. Because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and to release them from the darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, in a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. I had a chance to meet one of these young ladies a long time ago. And we're going to talk about that because that's still a good story. Because some of you guys think that I haven't always been the way that I am. But I am what I am. Just like I told you guys 13 years ago, there's not another bag of tricks. This is it. And so we'll see that. But a few things. In this passage, Isaiah reminds us of some beautiful things. That those of us who claim the name of Christ have a privileged obligation, opposite side of the same coin, to go and to proclaim beauty, redemption to those who are without it. You know, one of the things on this Memorial Day weekend, I mentioned earlier that we tend to take our freedoms for granted. And it's true, we all do it. I'm not trying to put a thumb in your eye, I'd have to put two in my own. But we all do it. And one of them is this, is the religious freedom that we enjoy. In America, you can be a Christian if you want to be. You can be a Muslim if you want to be. You can be an atheist if you want to be. You can be whatever you want to be. When I was 19 years old, I practiced Jimmyism. True story. You could probably figure how the doctrine went in that one. But in America, the truth of God's word is as close as your cell phone. Because if you picked it up right now and you opened the YouVersion Bible app, God's word is there for you. with tremendous tools. It's as close as your laptop. It's as close as your iPad. It's as close as the television. It's as close as your radio, the name Jesus. But that's not the way it is everywhere. I've actually met individuals who've never heard the name Jesus. And as I mentioned in the last hour, is this: try to begin a spiritual conversation with someone who doesn't even know who Jesus is. And so the challenge that we face is to be willing and able to go and tell the good news, because how will they hear unless there's a proclaimer? And if you're here today and you're a born-again believer, there was someone or some ones who proclaimed that truth to you. And aren't you glad they did? I'm thinking about my little Appalachian Pentecostal grandma. I'm going to have to bring a picture. My little grandma. I love my little grandma. And there were others. But you see, when we sit in America and we look at the world and the challenges of the world, and there are significant challenges, but there's still hope. How do I know? Because there's still Jesus. And how do I know that? Well, because he's moving in my life, he's moving in your life, and he says he's ready, willing, and able to move in the lives of others. And so in meeting with these young ladies, they have a heart for a specific need. Here's something that may shock you. An estimated 60 to 100,000 children under the age of 12 in the Philippines are involved in prostitution. Let that soak in a little bit. Greenville right now, I think our last time we did a census, we're about 35,000. So let's just go on the low side. If you took Greenville twice over and it was all kids under the age of 12, all of them would be involved in prostitution. Now, the problem with that is this, is the people that lead them into prostitution are the very people they should be willing to trust. Children typically are born trusting. They just hold out to you and they just believe. And so the question that we have is this: how do you break that chain? How do you change something like that? I'm not going to lie to you. When I read stats like this, it just freaks me out, because how do you even get started? Where do you begin to eat that elephant? But in visiting with these two young ladies, I'm pretty excited, because their vision is really quite simple. And I want to say this in front of everyone. I said this to you when we visited. Your information, your business plan, Jeff, I thought of you when they handed me this. This is top shelf. This is top shelf right here. Their plan is real easy. They want to reach the community. Well, that sounds like New Testament. They want to strengthen the family. That sounds New Testament. And why do they want to do those two things? Well, obviously that people would come to know Christ, and through that, save children. In the last hour, we visited, and I asked people to think about when the first time in their life they remember having heartbreak in their life. And I went way back, probably about 5. And you know, kids can be scarred early. But here's the beauty, is that through faith and grace and commitment, we're not destined to be what we have experienced. Amen? We can become more than what we knew. We can become more than what we were taught. We can become more than what was exampled in front of us by the grace of God. And so I'm very excited to invite this wonderful ministry here today to share about what's going on. And I got to tell you, it kind of makes me wish I was about 25 again, kind of, as long as I could have my bride. I would do that. So we're gonna see just a brief introduction video, and at the end of the video, I'm going to invite you guys to warmly welcome with me Redeeming Zoe to the platform.
We live in a beautiful world, But there are many things surrounding us that are just heartbreaking. Many people are called to go, but only a few are chosen. And when that call comes, very few people have the courage to stand up and actually do something about it. Hillary and Becca have been equipped through faith to stand up and make a difference. In May of 2016, Hillary and Becca founded Redeeming Zoe, a nonprofit organization that stands to fight child exploitation in the Philippines and around the world. Their vision is to give these children hope and a future through Jesus Christ. Promoting awareness, facilitating prevention, and offering means for healing from exploitation. They are partnering with local churches and other nonprofit organizations to strengthen the family through life skills training and discipleship. The goal is to prevent more children from being abandoned or exploited due to poverty. Redeeming Zoe. You can learn more at redeemingzoe.org.
Would you please welcome? You each get a microphone. That's something. All right, so we're going to talk a little bit about Redeeming Zoe and a bunch of things, but let's first start with this, shall we? My favorite topics. Now, one of you two ladies I met when you were younger, and what was it? Was it a youth event?
Yes, okay. It was a youth rally.
Okay, yeah. Be sure to use your mic because that way our webcast is.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I'm speaking at a youth event, and obviously powerfully gifted. I was speaking powerful. And then what happened?
My cell phone rang.
Yes. And how did we handle that? Do you remember?
You called me to the front of the room in front of about 100 people, and you made me give you my phone, and you answered the telephone, and it was my dad.
How did your dad like that?
Well, he didn't like that because Pastor Jimmy said that I was sitting by a guy. I had brought some older guy with me, and he was wearing, he had tattoo sleeves and piercings all over him.
So, needless to say, I let Dad off the hook, but how
old was that? I was 13, and I'm 27 now, so...
Well, my name is Becca.
Okay.
And I'm Hillary. So neither of us are Zoe.
So let's begin. What is Redeeming Zoe? What? It's a wonderful name, and I'd love for you to unpack that for me.
Okay. When we came home, we spent a year in the Philippines 2 years ago. And when we came home, the Lord led us to Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 4, the verses you went through a while ago. And the Lord laid those verses on our heart, and in verse 4, it talks about repair, like repairing the devastations of many generations. Repair meaning to redeem. And so many people have asked us, Zoe, who's Zoe, why Zoe? And Zoe actually means life in Greek. And there's 14 different translations of the word life in Greek, but the Zoe life is the life that God breathed into Adam before sin ever entered the world. So Redeeming Zoe means to repair this perfect life that God intended for all of us.
Okay, all right. There you go. That's good, yeah? And I was noticing we were visiting earlier this week their logo, and I asked them, I said, is the tree on the right-hand side coming together as a part of redemption? And they had never thought of that, so I'm looking at it.
Becca and I met at Texas A&M University in Commerce. We both graduated from there. And we met at in the Baptist Student Ministry. We were both heavily involved there. And when we met,
6 years ago.
That was 6 years ago. And when we first met, I don't tell many people this, but I didn't really like her. I was very kind of reserved in college. I focused a lot on my studies and work, and so I just didn't have a lot of time for a social life. But we quickly found out that we had both been to Honduras on a missions trip before, and that connected us. So,
and from the beginning of this friendship, when we learned we both had an interest in missions and culture, we always joked from the very beginning, you know, one day we'll start a nonprofit. And it was a joke. It was never something that we thought we would take serious. It was never something that we, either one of us, could truly vision, like, of what that would look like. And here we are 6 years later. So
you both graduated, and your degree is in?
My degree is in sociology with a minor in counseling.
Okay, and then yours?
My degree is in photography.
Okay. And so you guys went and you spent, what, a year and a half in the Philippines?
So for a year and a half, we worked with an organization out of Sulphur Springs, Texas, which is where we both currently reside right now. But we were only in the Philippines for 13 months total.
And you thought you were going to be there permanently.
Yes.
But things change.
Yeah. So when we were over there, we saw many different things. We worked with 7 kids, and they changed our lives. They were so precious and got the privilege of leading them to the Lord and just discipling them and pouring into them. But when we lived over there, we saw many different things aside from the work in the orphanage. We saw girls being transported by boat to be sexually trafficked. And when I say that, I'm talking they were probably promised a job that or an education to provide income for their family. And really, they were tricked. And then the typical scenario is that they have to have sex up to 20 times a day to bring in income. And they never see that income. We also saw a girl, a child, who was sold by her mom to a neighbor. And when she wouldn't do what the neighbor said, she was profusely beaten. So that's not uncommon for moms to sell their children into exploitation to bring in income for their family. Later, this mom actually came to us and said, "Please take my child. She'll have a better life at the orphanage." And so seeing all of that, we couldn't sit back and do nothing.
Okay. So what's interesting is, you know, here in the States, you know, we have a foster care system and things. It's not perfect, obviously, but it's better than what's available there. And so you had shared with me that one of the real bear traps is the poverty. Is you'll have a mom, maybe she has multiple kids, she's trying to provide for them as any good mother would, and she may be put into a decision where to provide for the three, the one may have to be exploited.
Currently, the issue in the Philippines is online exploitation. So all it requires is a webcam, a chat room, and an online money account. And it can be consumed, like watched anywhere in the world. And with that, you may think, well, how are these people in third world Philippines out in slums, how are they having access to webcams or how are they having access to computers? And the unfortunate story that's very common is foreigners are going in and taking advantage of people's poverty. They are offering free computers and offering free webcams, saying, "You're a good person and I'm a good person, so I want to give you this for free," but then later coming back and putting these people in this debt and saying, "I gave you this and you owe me and this is how you're going to use it." And they force these families into this debt bondage where they are forced to, in a situation, to put their children in front of this webcam. So unfortunately, the children become the victim, the parents become the victim, and the children also become the abuser because the children do it to one another, the family, it's a sick world.
Sure. You guys cite a couple of things in your business plan here. It says that it's estimated that 76% of the transactions for sex with underage girls start on the internet. And it's, and you were talking to that. And then you said roughly 2,600 cases per month of cyber sex trafficking from the U.S. alone are reported in the Philippines. Yeah. So being able, the ability to abuse a child is not limited to being in the room with them.
Right. So. Absolutely. And I'll just kind of elaborate on that. People ask us all the time, so why can't you do the work that you want to do in the U.S.? Why the Philippines? And, you know, for a long time, we didn't really have an answer other than, well, Jesus told us to go to the Philippines. But seeing that 2,600 cases per month are coming out of the U.S., well, the U.S. is able to track it. In the Philippines, they're using what's, it's a pocket Wi-Fi, and it's using cell service. So if any of you know about computers and cell service, if you access the internet, it's a different IP address every single time. And so they are not able to trace it. The only way they're able to help and to rescue these children is by word of mouth.
So to add to that, over, I think it's almost coming up on 4 years of combating online exploitation, they've rescued 120 kids out of this. So in 4 years, 120 kids when they're catching 2,600 cases on the stateside every month.
Okay. Now, one of the questions I'm sure you've been asked is, are you reduplicating the wheel? Because this isn't something brand new, and I know there's organizations working to do this. Can you help us understand the uniqueness of Redeeming Zoe as it partners with existing efforts?
So last year in May, we were kind of starting the developing of Redeeming Zoe. We didn't have a name yet, and we had a couple who is so gracious and precious to us, send us to Dallas for a weekend to just pray and seek the Lord on nonprofit stuff, because we knew that that was our calling. So our goal was to come up with a name, and then we researched other organizations in the Philippines who are working in combating child exploitation. We came across IJM, International Justice Mission, and they're very well known. They're the largest anti-trafficking organization in the world, focusing on rescue and justice reform. And so we sent an email thinking, oh, they'll probably, it was just a generic email on their website. And within 3 days, they contacted us wanting to hear our vision. And so we were on the phone with them, and we just came with an attitude of, we don't want to reinvent the wheel. We want to offer something that's going to help fill in the gaps and partner alongside of you. Because that's what the body of Christ is about. You know, we, you don't need 500 arms, you know. there's different parts of the body for a reason. And so when they heard our hearts on that, they said, well, our immediate need is a children's home for rescuing children out of this evil. So we started praying and seeking, and we had been in communication with other organizations just to kind of get some more information and educate ourselves and do some research. And you know, the Lord did not put on our heart. At first, we were like, yes, we're going to do a children's home. But then, from our own personal experience, we realized that that was a Band-Aid. And there are many organizations that are providing children's homes for IJM. And so we thought, well, how can we be a solution to the problem? And I'll let Becca share a little bit about the solution.
So the Lord laid on our heart that if the foreigners are reaching the families and the parents, and it's trickling down, and the kids are the victims of that, well, what if we start with the family as a whole? And so our vision is to start with the parents and to pour in, to start with the family by reaching the community. There is a certain community in the Philippines where all 120 kids have been rescued out of. And in this community, our vision is to pour into a community center where we can train up these families through discipleship, through skill training, and providing them with tools in their toolkit so that if someone approaches them offering them free things, that they will first build a trust with them before they just accept things. Because part of it is just being aware of people's intentions with things and teaching, unfortunately, the world that we live in, like, it's important for people to know not everyone has good intentions. Not everyone is like Christ. And in that, our goal is to really focus on the family and pour into the family. And through that, ultimately, our goal is to save the child. And if we can prevent a child from experiencing exploitation, we know that is God's purpose with everything that we're doing.
So we have three tiers. We have awareness. Awareness is important. Prevention is the goal, and saving and healing is necessary. We're unique because we're focusing on prevention. We're focusing on stopping it and being a solution to the problem. In all of the Philippines, there is not currently an organization that is solely focused on stopping it at its head, at the root.
And you said that all of the cases where the children had been redeemed came from a same place, mm-hmm. and that city is Cebu?
It's on Cebu Island, but okay. That city is called Lapu-Lapu, and it's where an international airport is. Cebu City is known for sex tourism, and currently the age of consent is 12 years old, so that prevents a whole nother battle with that. And unfortunately, the international airport is in the heart of where this Lapu-Lapu is. Okay. So unfortunately, we know that international travel has a large part in that.
Okay. And that's where you plan to live?
Live, ministry, yes. Live okay. across a bridge. Yeah. About 30, 40 minutes away.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Generally.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me ask you this question. You know, you're two young ladies. There would be those, obviously, who would not appreciate your efforts. How do you answer the question? Why you, and why are you willing to take a risk? Because this is not an over-dramatization. It could cost you your life. Either one day at a time or all at once. So the question that we need to hear an answer to is, why would you be willing to risk that? And how do you, I mean, because we're not overselling this, right? I mean, so how do you answer that?
I think for me, knowing that God has called me to this, many people, their first question is, are you afraid? And it's funny to me because sometimes I feel I'm more afraid here than I am in the Philippines. And currently many people may have seen the Philippines in the news. There are different military groups in the southern part of the Philippines that have been causing a little ruckus lately. But in that, I would be more afraid not to obey the call of God than I would to be right here in East Texas, knowing that this is where he has called me, and he has given me such a complete peace about that. That I know in that I have a peace in my spirit, and I know that he gives me joy in thinking about it. And we are very excited to be moving this fall full time back to the Philippines. And it's just it's a feeling. It's hard to. I mean, we talked about it. Like it's easy. It's easy to go, but hard to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for us, just that peace and knowing that this is what God has called us to. That I think we would be in a lot more trouble if we tried to stay right here in East Texas.
Okay. What about you?
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. You know, I personally know how much God has saved me from and has forgiven me of, that I would be so selfish to not obey his voice at going and sharing the gospel and the freedom that he has to offer for these kids, for these families, and for the community as a whole. So
let me ask you a mathematics question. How many kids have to be saved for it to be worth your effort?
One.
Okay. Now, you know, it. You know, we talked earlier, this is a big problem, and if the Lord tarries, you know, this... You're planting. You're setting a base by which to grow from, and but you know, yeah, one is you know. So just to kind of recap, so people kind of understand what Redeeming Zoe is your goal is to work in partnership with local churches to establish a ministry, a training, discipleship, all whatever. In a community, two families, and the goal would be to help single moms, impoverished families learn work skills, also spiritual truth, so that they can grow strong enough to resist what could be a desperate. Now, you and I talked, you know, there may be people sitting here, or there'll be people who listen to the podcast who would say, I would never, ever, ever, ever do that to my kids. Mm-hmm. To which my response is you've never, ever, ever, ever been to where these people might be. Right. We don't know what we would be willing to do, mm-hmm. you know, if we found ourselves there. But the goal is to redeem the family unit, yeah. mm-hmm. not to divide them up. You know, obviously, if the parents are ne'er-do-wells, but the goal is to redeem the family. And as they grow, they begin to change the course of that family because the children would be redeemed. And if a community can be redeemed, then a nation can be redeemed. Is that what I understand your vision is? Okay.
And the end of Isaiah 61:4 talks about repairing the devastations of many generations. And like you just said, our vision, when God first laid Isaiah 61 on our heart, and we just had this vision of transforming their lives, binding up the brokenhearted, setting the captives free, and giving them this beautiful headdress and the oil of gladness, to see them go and repair the devastations of what was before them. And that's our focus, that's our purpose in all of this, is that if we can train up a child and teach them what the truth of God's word means and see them go and repair the life of poverty before them, and more than just poverty of financial means, but right. poverty of hope, poverty of love. And it's so much more than just a financial means. These people just live day to day figuring out what tomorrow is going to come. And in our experience before working in the orphanage, we had the opportunity to invest in lives where we saw them go living day by day to where now they're thinking about college and enrolling in college. And so our dreams are just to see people be able to dream and not have a fear of what's tomorrow.
Okay, mm-hmm. good. Does anyone have a question? Anybody? You can just stand up and ask it. Yes, ma'am.
That's a great question. So she, in case nobody heard, she said, what kind of counseling is going to be offered? You know, in the Philippines, we lived there for 13 months in a city of 250,000 people, and there was one counselor in that city that we could find. And if she showed up to work that day, great. If she didn't, you missed your appointment. So our goal is to build relationships with the local colleges, especially those that have social work and counseling fields for them to study, because we want to hire full-time counselors that'll be on site to offer free counseling. Because the thing is even though that there was one counselor, it was still very, very expensive to go. And so that's our hope, is to pay a full-time salary to a counselor who will be on site to provide free counseling to victims and to families who have endured the exploitation.
Very good.
Processes of keeping people in the program. That was another question she asked, the process of that. So our goal with, you know, we are not going to force someone to come and be a part of discipleship. But as part of with partnering with a local trade school, we're going to provide scholarships for these families. If they, in fact, to have one of our scholarships, we are going to require them to come to at least two classes to where they're going to learn how to budget their new income, and they're going to learn how to build a resume, how to dress for an interview, those types of things. And we're going to follow up with them, making sure that they are, in fact, looking for jobs. So.
Okay, good question. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry, say again.
Jobs are, there's so many people in the Philippines that jobs are hard to come by. Even at McDonald's, you have to have a college degree. A lot different than America. Having a skill and teaching them an actual trade provides them the opportunity to open up their own business and open up their own means of income. So we found in, like, educating an adult, what is a lot longer process and sometimes doesn't produce as well as many jobs as teaching them a trade and teaching them a skill. In this trade school, there's 16 different trades that they can learn from culinary. In the culinary, most of the people that go through that program become chefs on cruise ships around the world. And there was housemaking. So these women were learning how to make a full bed in less than 2 minutes. It was really impressive. And with that, many of the women were going on to work in the hotels in the city. So we learned through this trade school that we're working with that there are many opportunities for them to go out and make sure that they get a job. We want to make sure the parents that we send through this trade school, that we don't just abandon them afterward, that we follow up with them and make sure they get a job and make sure they're progressing forward as a family. We want to make sure that partnership is there.
And our hope with that is that they will go through our program, and a part of the follow-up process is to offer discipleship classes. We don't want to force anyone because the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, and that's not something we're interested in. But we do hope that as we offer classes on how to be a godly parent and how to really know who our identity is in Jesus, you know, that they will be, that the Holy Spirit will draw them in. So,
and I can see a need when a single parent is bridging into the workforce, you know, how do they take care of their kiddos, you know, in those hours. So I can see that too. Anyone else? Question? I see that hand.
In the Philippines, we will be focusing on community development, which is how the wording will be Philippines side. Ultimately, that is what we are doing, developing a community, but the goal is to teach them about a relationship with Christ and to save children out of exploitation. So in the Philippines, we have met many pastors and many people that are very excited about this ministry and very excited about the possibilities that this could come and grow into other cities, of just providing opportunities for a community to come together. And ultimately, it's going to be a church, but not look like a church. So far, we have got really good feedback. IJM is very excited because them being an organization rescuing kids, they can't go out publicly and talk about awareness and prevention to protect themselves and the organization. So they're excited about our partnership because we can, as an organization, go into the public schools and go into colleges and talk about awareness and talk about prevention. And so far this has been well received, and we look forward to seeing this come through. And God has given us this really big vision that if this is successful, not if, but when this is successful, that we see this being implemented in many cities around the Philippines. So we're excited about that day to come.
And I'll just kind of comment on that question. You know, we were there for 13 months, and you know, it takes relationship building. You know, it takes time. Anytime you go into a community, especially us being white, you know, there's going to be that pushback. There's going to be the resistance. But the goal is just to love them where they're at and to be the hands and feet of Jesus where the needs are. And so that's why we're starting with Reach the Community as a whole, because we want to hire a team of locals who will be able to carry this thing out. But these locals will know how to impact the community. They'll know the needs of the community better than we will. And so working with locals on how we can reach the community as a whole will start that building of trust. So it will take time, just like any relationship that you start. So,
was there a question over here?
We get that question a lot. Currently, God has called us as two single women to pack up and go. And it's just the two of us. We do have many people already locally that are joining in on this. And so there's a pastor and many other people that have just joined this vision and want to help us see through and connect us with people. So we know, like she said, that our vision is to make sure that this is a team of locals. So our vision is to see this come through and then us be able to step away, because it's not about us. It's about training up and teaching them to love on their own people. So currently it's just the two of us.
All right, any other? Do you see opportunities for short-term individuals or groups to come and serve alongside you?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's the beauty of this vision, is that it's going to take more than one person to get involved. You know, someone once told me a vision is not a vision if it can be done by one person. And, you know, I've really clung to that. We at first had decided to do a children's home. And when we were in the process of researching all of that, we realized if we do a children's home, this limits who can come and be a part. Because, you know, when you have children who have come from such terrible devastations, that comes with attachment issues and a lot of social development that needs to happen. And so when you have teams coming over and leaving and coming over and leaving, it causes more issues. And so with a community center, you know, you may have skills and gifts that we don't have on our table that we need. You know, maybe you can come and do a class on budgeting, or maybe somebody in here teaches typing and can come teach people how to type or to read. You know, it's the possibilities are endless. So we really encourage teams to come.
And this city is in the ministry travel of some people we all know.
Yes.
And the McNillises, one of our ministry partners, they travel through the city quite a bit. So,
yes.
And you know them.
Yes.
So that's pretty strange how the Lord puts people together. All right, any other questions? All right. Anything that we haven't discussed that you would really like to put forward here before we wrap up?
I think I just want to thank you and the church for just receiving us and coming, letting us come and share what's on our hearts. And we've enjoyed worshiping with you this morning. It's just been wonderful. So thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, absolutely.
And if you have any other questions or would like to talk to us, we'll be out. We have T-shirts for sale. And if you want any more information, we have our lovely business plan.
Good deal. Well, I want you to know I've really enjoyed visiting with you ladies. And, you know, the first time that we spoke about this, my first reaction was, okay, you know, what are we duplicating? But you've really kind of found a niche here. And I'm excited for you. I'm not going to lie to you, being a dad, I'm a little scared. But I will reaffirm what you said earlier. Is the safest place you can be is the center of God's will, wherever that is, you know. So what I'd like to do is just offer a word of prayer over you guys, and then we'll have the worship team come, and the ushers, if you'd prepare to receive the morning giving. We do have a table in the front. They'll be here, answer any questions you may have. By all means, buy a T-shirt. Also, there's a giving option I'm going to show you here in just a second that's a little unique. You can do that too. But ladies, thank you so much for being here, and would love to talk to you more especially as you move towards that launch window, okay? Let's just pray over them together, shall we? Father, we just give you thanks for this day. And Lord, we thank you that our world is a smaller place today than it once was. Lord, that we can go and we can make a difference, an eternal difference, into the uttermost parts. But Father, we know that in that closeness and in that availability, Lord, the adversary always takes advantage. And Father, we lift up Redeeming Zoe, and we lift up these two young ladies who have a vision, Lord, to meet people right where they are. And through your grace, through your mercy, through your transformative power, Lord, redeem lives. Not only for this life, but for eternal life. Father, we pray that you would give them wisdom as they begin to lean into that departure date. Father, we pray that you would give them favor among those who would be to partner with them. Father, we pray that you'd give them protection. Lord, for this does not go without significant risk. But Father, what does it profit a man or a woman to gain the whole world but has nothing? Father, what is this life really worth that we would hold on to it at the eternal loss of others? Father, I pray for their friends, for their family, for their churches, Lord, as they step into faith with you. Father, I thank you for our fellowship, Lord, who can take a moment and just hear what God is doing and to consider how we can be a part of what you're doing. Father, give us wisdom in this. But Father, greater than all these things, we ask that you might be glorified through these young ladies. Lord, use them as you see fit, for you love them more than anything else and anyone else. And Lord, may your will be done. May eternity show what the faith, the vision, and the courage of these two young ladies have brought. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give them a hand, shall we? All right. Invite the worship team to come. Invite our ushers to receive the morning gifts. Also, I mentioned to you, they have they offer you a unique way to give today. If you'd like to give today, I encourage you to do that. You can do that through a check. You can do that through our digital kiosk. If you do that, let one of us know that you've done that so we can make that arrangement. But you can also give through a safe, secure means through your text. You can text Redeeming Zoe to 77977 and make a gift there. It's safe and secure.